time.
Welcome, mates, to Here's Asylum, number 53, finally. We are here. We're going to do something different. It's been a slow week, but one of the big events that is coming up that Kane and I are huge fans of, Royal Rumble. It's to us, it's one of the top four events for the wrestling industry that we love to take a look at. And we're going to do something a little different. It's not just Kane and I. Kane, do a shout out for us. Say hi. Make sure everybody knows you're
live. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for everybody coming out last night for the birthday. Very fun.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Asylum nights. A lot of new fans that I came to the Asylum. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. But as you said, we are not alone.
Yeah, no, we are not. We have a guest who's going to join us here. We have decided to keep his identity secret from the whole world. So we're going to introduce the one and only Grant Gimmick.
Grant Gimmick.
Yes, I am Grant Gimmick, and I am happy to be here. But more importantly, it is your pleasure to have me here. My last name may be Gimmick, but I got to tell you, I'm the ultimate student of the game.
Well, very good, very good. Very good. We're looking forward to this. We cannot wait. Grant is a fan like we are for a long time, and also a student of the game. And guys, we are doing something a little different here. This is not our normal show. Normally, our show is, you know, we break down comic book movies, comic book, you know, TV shows, just anything going on in the geek community. But again, Kane and I are geeks for wrestling as well, so we're gonna kind of do something a little different. I'm gonna give you a little bit of history about the Royal Rumble specifically. And then we're going to talk about the card coming up, which airs this coming Sunday, January 26th, on the WWE Network. Still $9.99, like Hogan used to advertise on those shirts.
$9.99, kids.
So we're going to go ahead and just do a quick breakdown. You guys, you know, it's free flow. Things we're talking about, just jump in, say, hey, you know, if you got an opinion or something different. If I'm trying to, I'm going off of what I remember from a lot of this stuff. I've tried to do some research on like just the history of Royal Rumble. But if you guys, you know, especially Grant, since you are our guest here, if you throw in, if you have any more knowledge as well.
I would be more than happy to help you out with that. Absolutely, sir. Whatever you need.
Perfect, perfect. Kane, you were going to say something there?
Oh, I think one of my earliest memories of the Rumble, I think, if I recall correctly, the first Rumble was not a pay-per-view. It was on the USA Network.
Yes, that is correct.
And I think it was a Saturday, too. I think Hogan won the first Rumble, if I'm not mistaken.
If I can interject, it was actually Hacksaw Jim Duggan that won.
Okay.
It was live from Canada, I believe. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, yeah. On Hamilton, Ontario is where the first one was held, 1988. And only 13 were entries on that one. It wasn't the typical one that we're used to, where, you know, usually the rule is they try to stick to the 30 or around that number.
When did we first get the year with the 30? Was it the year after?
The first time? No. I mean, when they went to that, it was the very next year was 27. They didn't actually do a 30, I think, until, goodness, I want to say the 20th one, 2007. They didn't actually have a full 30 until then.
Okay, so it's been around.
But they were always around 27, 25, 24. There are a couple of Royal Rumbles in here that I don't consider a Royal Rumble when you have three people in here, but they've got, like, when you look at the list of events, they've got them in there. And I'm like, I don't see that. That's not a Royal Rumble. That's just a three-man match.
When was that three?
Royal Rumble 5. That was with Ric Flair was the winner on that one. It was weird.
Then that's the one where he went and won the title, I believe, correct?
Yes, yep, that was the one. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I remember that one. That wasn't much of a rumble. It was,
So for you guys that aren't familiar with what Royal Rumble is, Royal Rumble is, it's basically a classic battle royale. It's a match where a number of wrestlers, traditionally, like I was saying, 30, or we were saying 30, aim to eliminate each other, being tossed over the top rope, and both feet must touch the floor. And there have been quite a few creative ways around that rule.
Yeah, with Kofi? Kofi's always been.
It was originally formatted. The idea came from Pat Patterson, the very first Intercontinental Champion, good old Pat. He was the one that, I've read a couple of books where he was always pushing for it, and the main office kept like turning him down. And this, the one you guys were talking about, that first Royal Rumble, where it's only the 13, they were like, let's give it a shot. We're not going to make it to do a pay per view. We're not going to make a big deal. Throw it on TV, and it seemed to do really well. Because it honestly became my favorite thing, even over WrestleMania, there for years for me.
I prefer to watch it.
It's always like this, the starting point, I guess, for WrestleMania season is the Rumble. It's like, you know, okay, we're in WrestleMania season now. The Rumble's here. Whoever's going to win is going to challenge one of the champions. And I guess we'll get to talk about Brock later on of why he's in the Rumble this year. But
yeah,
that's always been like the springboard. So.
Any one stand out for you, Grant, as far as good matches that you can remember growing up, or ones that like you maybe if you go back to watching still to this day?
It would definitely be the Royal Rumble or even Survivor Series. You know, the classic formula for Survivor Series. You know, was 5 versus 5 trying to survive. You know, they kind of broke away from that. And when they broke away from that kind of killed the whole aspect of the pay per view. But it was these little gimmick pay per views that made people watch. You know what I mean? And it wasn't so constant. It was broken up between 5 months here, 5 months there. People were salivating for the next pay-per-view, and that's kind of what they're missing, you know, and that's what I remember is the anticipation, waiting for the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble was that bang, that kickoff toward WrestleMania. You were going to get that start at the Rumble, you were going to pay off at WrestleMania. Now, not so much, you know?
Yeah, we lost that. Those the team names I thought were always great, especially back in the 80s, early 90s, or the different goofy team names that they always do for the series.
Yeah, because they were silly, but they were teams, and at least, like you said, it was constructed that way. And, you know, it's like Grant was saying, it's like you look forward to them, you know. They built that anticipation of every, like, okay, you know what, we're not going to have a pay-per-view this month, but you know what's coming up in 2 months? Like, and you could build that up. And I think before it used to be just – I think they used to have 6 pay-per-views per year. Now it's just like, you know, every week is a pay-per-view, which is ridiculous. So
right. You don't even know when the next one is coming because there's no bill for it. It's like, oh, wow, it's here already? Really? Wow, I didn't even have time to even digest it, you know?
So, yeah, exactly. I think when the Rumble's done, they're going to have like another one in 3 weeks. And it's just like, you know, relax, you know, let us breathe for a little bit.
Right. Well, I think it was something that Kane and I were talking about like a couple of episodes ago. We were talking about like us being Star Wars fans. I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan yourself.
I can appreciate the story of it. To me, it is just a movie. I know Kane is a huge Star Wars fan. But I can appreciate the storytelling of it because they actually do use, when they're teaching us how to tell stories in the ring, they do use Star Wars as an example, and you know how it goes from, you know, you get your finish, you know, Luke went over the bad guy, and that's the way the story should be told, you know, and that's kind of how they teach us to divide the match.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because you are, when you're in there, you're that 3, 5, 6 minute match is a mini story. You're supposed to tell a story by your movements. But Kane and I were talking about how we lost the excitement for movies coming out because it used to be an event. And that's how I always looked at like the wrestling pay-per-views coming up. They were events. You were building up to, oh my God, this is going to be happening in 2 months instead of, oh, we're going to see that in 3 weeks then.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, look at, you know, Jurassic Park that just came out, things like that. You know, I mean, all of a sudden there's no promotion for this movie. All of a sudden it's there and gone. You know, where'd the promotion go for it? Where'd the excitement go for it? You know, I would agree with that 100%. It's entertainment. You know, it's all like that.
So we have so like a little back data. To date, only 4 men who have been in the one of the starting wrestlers. So when they come out, they come out to wrestlers every 2 minutes, and then they drop to 2 minutes and 90 seconds. I think is the time.
I think it's 2 minutes, and I think it changes, or does it stay the same?
According to this, it just says yeah. I mean, Grant might know a little bit more on the time frames.
I believe it has stayed the same since, since 1988. They kind of keep it the same. There have been a few instances of maybe, you know, if there's an issue with they have a storyline, you know, where somebody gets attacked in the back, you know, that may take up some time, that kind of thing. But I believe they keep it the same time frame.
That's what I was thinking.
So out of all the Royal Rumbles, only 4 men have started, have been one of the starting wrestlers at the very beginning. They're coming out during the first two start, Shawn Michaels, 95, Vince McMahon in 99, Chris Benoit, 04, and also Mysterio in 06. So they were there through the whole thing.
Benoit is an underrated one. Everybody like talks about Shawn. I mean, I guess, you know, it's Shawn. I mean, it's one of Grant's favorite wrestlers. I know that is Shawn Michaels. But Benoit is the one on that list, him and Mysterio. Like, you don't remember them being like, you know, from beginning to end. Like, Benoit, I think that was the year Benoit won the world title from Triple H, I I think that was the moment him and Eddie.
Yes, you are correct on that. That led to that iconic moment, and that's who it was. It was that build, you know what I mean, from him being the complete underdog in there, you know what I mean? Nobody expected him to win that Royal Rumble and go on, and him and Eddie Guerrero will be the last two staying in the ring when they close WrestleMania. Nobody expected that, you know?
No, you don't think of two cruiserweights from WCW to end a Royal Rumble.
Oh, no.
I mean, really, when you think back to the time frame, Kane and I definitely, you know, we grew up during the major Attitude Era, and we were there watching it every day. So, yeah, seeing those guys coming up in the cruiserweights with the luchadors and then seeing these guys elevated after the fall of WCW and then moving over to EC or to WWE, it's one of those rare events. Like, I never thought I'd see those two guys in that position.
And it's crazy because when they were in WCW, they were so like almost devalued to a point. And then you move all those guys to WWE and they've created themselves these Hall of Fame careers like Benoit did, Guerrero did, Mysterio did. I mean, Malenko, not so much in the ring, more like behind the scenes with production and all that stuff. But, you know, he still was an integral part for WWE for years. And I think he's in AEW now trying to get that promotion going. But, yeah, it's just that thing that we keep harping upon, and I'll probably keep saying is, you know, that hero's journey, man. You fall in love with the character, you follow him until he gets to the mountaintop, and then, you know, after that, you know, you see where he goes from there. You know, when is he going to turn heel? That's like the big thing, like the whole Star Wars connection as well. It's like, starts as a farm boy, learns his skills. Is he going to go heel? Is he not? And you go from there. But yeah, definitely iconic moment with those. And those guys were definitely a big part of the Rumbles, especially that WrestleMania that year. That was an incredible, incredible card.
If you want to talk about the wins now, like making it to the top, there's one wrestler that has had the most wins in the Royal Rumble, and that number is 3. So it kind of helped you narrow down kind of your idea maybe.
Oh, it's got to be Austin, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yep. That would be Austin. Yeah. 97, 98, and then, of course, 01 was his was the one he had. So, yeah, he had a back-to-back win with that. Then after that, the number 2 slot is immense. You have Hogan, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Batista, Cena, and Orton. And Michaels actually did the same thing Austin did back-to-back. He did 95 and 96.
Well, that was during the era of Michaels. Once again, Grant's favorite wrestler.
Yes, so. Yeah.
You know, let me say about Shawn Michaels. As a kid growing up, I was not a fan. I'm a huge Bret Hart fan. So it was either you liked one or the other, you know what I mean, back then, which brought the passion and the chemistry out of it. But meeting him in person and listening to him, because he's at NXT all the time, listening to his knowledge and stuff like that is a totally different ballgame. I mean, the man is completely intelligent. The man is awesome at what he does. And he made me hate him for a reason, and I can definitely respect that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I actually, one of my close friends that I grew up with, he actually turned and eventually became a wrestler. He actually was a part of Shawn Michaels' school, went out to San Antonio and was there, goodness, we're talking, I want to say mid-90s, like right around when he first started doing the school. And so, yeah, it was one of the things he always talked about is like, he's the understanding and, you know, the understanding the story is something that Sean always, you know, always put out there and made sure everybody understood.
Yeah, you know, he will even tell you that he was difficult to deal with, so that's not a surprise. It's meeting some of these people, you know, that you grew up just absolutely you couldn't stand, you know what I mean, on TV or you know, you heard about them in real life, and you meet them in, you know, you meet them now, you know what I mean, and it's just like a total 360. You understand what they were trying to do. You know, they were good heels, you know what I mean? That's why you hated them, as opposed to today where, you know, you hate a heel because he's a bad actor.
Definitely. And speaking of a Shawn Michaels protege, Mr. Daniel Bryan, he actually holds the title for longest time spent in a single Royal Rumble at 1 hour and 16 minutes.
Ooh.
5 seconds, yeah. That title was held forever, over a decade by Rey Mysterio at a minute and or an hour and two.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say Mysterio had that record for a long time.
He got that in 2006, and Daniel Bryan broke that 2 years ago in 2018.
For Daniel Bryan, I like his new look. He's back to being the dragon, so no more Goat Boy, as somebody would say. I don't know who, but somebody had a huge issue with his little Billy Goat look, but I'm not going to say who it is, gimmick, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not, I did, I know what Daniel Bryan was capable of in Ring of Honor and things like that, and just the way they brought him in was almost like, okay, you're giving us half this guy, you know what I mean? You're giving half of what he can do. I'm not a huge fan of his matches, but I do have to say that this new look is good. It's a very good contrast to what they're trying to do with him and the Fiend, and it's one of the things that is very compelling. You know what I mean? To look at Daniel Bryan and be like, hey, they're letting him be, you know, himself.
There's something that's interesting about the Fiend character. I don't know if anybody's caught on to it. Like, whoever he wrestles, did you notice that they somewhat go back to being the previous character that they were? Like, when the Fiend wrestled Finn Balor, he went back to being a heel. He wrestled Daniel Bryan, he went back to the dragon look. He wrestled The Miz, now The Miz is back to being a heel now. It's almost like they go back to what they were instead of moving forward. I just found that interesting. I saw that, I read that article, and I was like, no, I never really noticed that until now.
I haven't either until you brought that up, and that is interesting because I do remember hearing something about that was kind of going to be the thing, you know what I mean, is that he was like with Matt Hardy, you know what I mean, when Matt Hardy was doing his, you know, delete thing, you know, he was going to, I guess, throw Matt Hardy in a river or something like that, and Matt Hardy would come back, you know, version one, you know what I mean, or whatever. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, and they're doing it very subtly, if that's their plan. Like I said, I don't know, it could be coincidence, but if that's the way they're going to go, I mean, I think it's, they're doing it well. I mean, that's one of the few characters, and I guess we'll get to it when we get to the card, one of the few characters that they have actually built pretty well, as opposed to other characters, which they have really dropped the ball on.
Now, for longest time spent, like when you take the history of the Royal Rumble, you know, we just talked about the guys that had the longest match, but for cumulative, let me try that again, time in the ring, Jericho holds the record by easily an hour, with at 5 hours and 1 minute for his total time in the Rumble, followed by Triple H at 4 hours. So, like I said, Triple H is a big jump, and then right behind Triple H is Rey Mysterio for 3 hours and 54. So really, I mean, just your overall time in there. And now here's one. I'm pretty sure you both will probably get this, but who holds the time for less, the least amount of time in?
That's got to be Santino, right?
That's the one. Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he holds it for 1 second, and behind him, oddly enough, one of my favorite wrestlers is in this list. There's three people at the 2 second mark. The Warlord, for you guys that
wow,
you
know, that's that's going back.
So the Warlord out there. Then No Way Jose, which I'm perfectly fine with that. But then Sheamus hits that mark.
That's odd.
Yeah, Sheamus? Yeah, he's in the ranking. He's in the running for the least amount of time right next to the Warlord and No Way Jose, which I think is very
Sheamus sad. Is a pretty big dude. I wonder who eliminated him that fast. Probably like the Big Show or something. He's got a boot.
This was
he also like one, right? So that's kind of strange, like how they would do that, you know, kill the character's momentum and then build it. Yeah.
That's that's WWE nowadays, so.
Yeah, because this was the one he had. Yeah, it was like 2018. He was in and out so fast. I think if I remember correctly, wasn't that the one that Cesaro threw him out on? If I'm trying to remember,
was it Cesaro? It might have been.
I'm trying to remember. I wish I could find exactly which who it was and that who got eliminated on that one. But yeah, 2 years ago, I thought it was somebody he was close with. And at 2018, it was him and Cesaro. It was it was just before they did the bar.
That sounds about right, because they were building where they were like enemies, and then they became the bar out of that. So that sounds about right. You're probably continuing that storyline at that point.
So most eliminations in a single Royal Rumble. What do you guys got?
I think I know what it is. I don't want to say it.
Well, let's see. Grant, you got an idea?
I want to say Kane, to be honest with you.
He's in the top three, but not that one.
He held this
record for quite some time, actually. That record was broke by Roman Reigns, who holds the second position. That he broke that in
Roman. Wait a minute, Roman doesn't have the record anymore.
No, I don't know. No, 2 years ago, 2018, somebody who would have broken that kind of record.
Was Strowman in there?
That's the one. Yep.
See, I don't remember that match. Him eliminating that. I have to watch that match again because I don't remember him eliminating that many. Excuse me.
I don't remember. And what does that tell you? That tells you that didn't really go anywhere. You know what I mean? You have a guy the size of Andre the Giant. You know who's supposed to make him win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You're supposed to make him win the Royal Rumble. Build this guy. You know what I mean? Instead of just constantly, you know, building him and then turn him, you know, heel, turn him face. You know what I mean? You're not establishing anything with your audience.
Yeah, because I do remember this one, actually, because of that reason that you just said, Grant. I remember I was like, man, he eliminated 13 people. So I remember that number. He eliminated almost half of that year's Royal Rumble. But yet when it came time, let's see here, 2018, what was it? The men's was a little bit smaller. It was like about he actually eliminated majority of that group. So yeah, and I remember that push, because then he did the Andre the Giant, and then he went in for, you know, the for WrestleMania, and it just kind of fizzled away. But yeah, he eliminated 13 people. Roman did 12, and then Kane, like you were saying, Kane, you held a record. At
11. I held the record for all. You didn't know that, did you?
Yeah,
that I was the record holder for the Royal Rumble eliminations.
Yeah, for 13 years, because Kane did that on 2001, that he got that record. Now, for total eliminations from beginning to end, who do you think, from the beginning of time to now, who do you think is holding that record? And keep in mind, these people can change gimmicks. So this is over a bunch of people.
I'm gonna say Shawn Michaels, because he's been in his fair share.
He and Taker hold second.
I was gonna say the Undertaker based on longevity time, but now I don't know who the first one would be. I was gonna say the Undertaker, to be honest.
You're really close. Isaac Yankum, Fake Diesel, Kane, our mayor Glenn Jacobs. He holds a record of 44 eliminations in 19 Royal Rumbles. And I think he holds the record for most Royal Rumble entries as well, because Shawn Michaels is only at 10. Taker was only at 11. And then the third place was our good old ringmaster, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Over his total career, he had 36 eliminations over six Royal Rumbles.
Is Triple H up there?
I only grabbed the top of the list. All of these lists, man, had like all like 20. Like I was
I'm just thinking, because most of the time when I'm going to answer my own question, because I think Triple H, most of the time when the Rumble was coming around, he was the champion. So he wasn't in the Rumble a lot, so I just basically answered my own question.
Let me see.
Yeah, usually he was. It was either like him versus Shawn Michaels, or him versus, you know, Benoit or Randy Orton or something like that. That route, yeah.
No, actually, you guys are. I hate to bust both your bubbles. I stopped at number three. I only did top three. He was actually number four on this, with 33.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. So he was 33. He'd only been in 9. So I mean, if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty numbers, Austin and Triple H, I mean, with the minimal time that they've been in there, 9 and 6 apiece, with and 33 eliminated.
That's good. Kills, man. That rocks for them, especially. I mean, are both main event guys too. So.
Yep. Yeah. They did. They did the most damage, I think, really, when you just look at longevity and the last little nugget of what I could find of it, wrestlers who have competed multiple times in the same night. And I'll give you a hint. There are only 2 people that fit in this.
So Bret Hart was one.
No.
Wasn't Bret?
No.
No, that they were in.
Right, he had to run because he wrestled with Owen in the tag team match against the Quebecers, as well as the Royal Rumble itself.
Yeah, you're right on that. And what I mean is actually just in the Royal Rumble match.
Mick Foley.
Yep, he is number one. And there is a second person that is in there. Foley was in 1998. He did, obviously, 3 times under Mankind, Cactus Jack, and Dude Love. But there's another person that was in a Royal Rumble twice. You guys aren't going to get this one. It's very recent, last year, in fact.
The Miz?
No. I kind of now that I'm thinking of this and what I just told Grant, I'm kind of going to disagree with it. I think I'm only going to say Mick. But they included Nia Jax because she wrestled in also the men's and the women's last year.
Yeah.
So to me, it wasn't the same Royal Rumble. So those are the ones that they have there.
Interesting. I don't really count Nia Jax, though. That was more of like a gimmick, to pardon the pun, but I don't really count Nia Jax.
It really didn't go anywhere, you know. They kind of used her, you know what I mean, to get at Dean Ambrose, and other than that, you know what I mean, it didn't really go anywhere.
But now, there was the very first Royal Rumble match which was a house show, the one that we saw USA, that was the first live. There was actually a house show, 87, 12-man Royal Rumble. The winner of that was One Man Gang. Give you guys a nosebleed when you have to go back that far. Yeah.
Former UWF World Champion, the One Man Gang. Yep. I remember.
Then he became,
what was that gimmick he did afterwards? That was awful.
I've seen the African Dream.
Oh, yeah. God, that was awful.
What are you talking about, man? That dance was
Oh, that was. What was it that he got rehabilitated by Stick, and then he can't? He started becoming African. I'm like, oh man.
It was like the Dr. Trial flick.
Absolutely. Oh god.
You watch that now. You cringe a little. You're like, oh man, they can never get away with that.
Oh no.
Yeah, just a little.
This and then there was one time there was a tag team Royal Rumble. This is the middle of the Attitude Era, 1998. Kane and Mankind won the match to earn the opportunity to wrestle the then WWF tag team champions, the New Age Outlaws. I saw that. What was it? Something popped up on YouTube where they came back, the DX and Road Dogg came out, man. And I thought I had seen him a couple years ago, and he looked like still in fighting shape. He put on some weight there. That's a power eating right there. Doing nothing but protein bars while you're running around
Billy Gunn is in awesome shape, though. I did see him the other day. He actually came in and was a guest trainer. He's in awesome shape. So I don't know, you know, where that kind of left off of the New Age Outlaw. You know, so yeah.
Well, I think Billy was always more of the truer athlete, because I mean he was also a rodeo cowboy, so I think he had a lot of that in him. And then his sons have been keeping him busy. One of our good friends actually went to high school with his youngest son. He went to high school together, played lacrosse together and everything, so I know he's been trying to stay busy with them. All right, so well, that is pretty much any like the little nuggets I have found. I thought it'd be fun for any, like I said, for any of the listeners that didn't know what the Royal Rumble was, just a little fun trivia, kind of get an idea of what it is. Like I said, it is a overall pay-per-view, but really the Royal Rumble is one specific match. And nowadays they are doing, I think this is like the third year that they will now do a second Royal Rumble, which is in there, which is the female Royal Rumble, which we were talking about this earlier. To me personally, the last 2 years, the women's Royal Rumble has just outshined men.
It's not even close. It's not even close. I think when I was talking to Grant last year, literally when I was messaging him during the Rumble, and I could just sense that anger coming through a text message from another human being. And it's just like, what is this? This is trash. He's like, why is the women's Royal Rumble better than the men's? And like, I go, because it's boring, because you knew who's going to win. And the women one, you kind of knew who was going to win, but it was more like they built up Becky to a point where she was like the fallen hero, you know, with the knee injury. She came in, she won, because she lost that night to Asuka too. It's kind of like shades of, what was that WrestleMania that Bret Hart lost the title to Yokozuna, and then Hogan came in and stole it. Yeah, that was the one. I was like, oh, whoa. You know, it was like kind of one of those what the hell moments. And it's kind of what it reminded me of. But yeah, the female one was definitely like head and shoulders above the men's, which it never should be. But, you know, I guess we're going to get to that.
Yeah, well, especially like the first one where you had, I think the first year they had it, you had Shinsuke winning for the men's, and then the women's, you know, closed the night out. And, you know, that was Sokka. And that's, I fell into God Star Wars you. For a second. No, I fell into Star Wars for a second.
Ahsoka won. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Like, Luke Kenobi.
But to me, I thought that was great to see both those wrestlers, because I thought those two really deserved it with the time that they've spent in just not WWE, but in the overall industry. I thought it was great to see those both of them to get
agreed. But again, to borrow something from Grant, it didn't go anywhere. Exactly. It was a great moment for both of them. They won. You kept thinking, oh, well, they're going to win at WrestleMania. Like, I thought like the Shinsuke-AJ match was great. That's when Shinsuke turned heel, which was probably the best move in his career. But you kind of figured, okay, they're going to give AJ the longevity with the belt. But when Asuka lost, I was like, oh, man. Oh, boy. They took that invincible character that she was in NXT.
Yeah,
Right away, they just broke it. Just like, you know what? Vince was like, no, I didn't create it. So, you know what? They're dead. Like, and he just craps on everything so fast if he doesn't like it. So, it's just that whole momentum of the Royal Rumble, them winning, Asian born or whatever from Korea. And then, just didn't go anywhere after that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I always thought Asuka should have been, you know, almost like, you know, her own, like, Japanese mafia. You know what I mean? Maybe she should never, ever take that mask off. Maybe she should, you know, have a spokesperson. Maybe she should be the Brock Lesnar of the women's division. You know what I mean? That's how it should have been, I think. And that would have given her and Becky you know, some kind of credence with the fans as that, hey, this person could actually beat this person on any given night, you know, and that's really what they need.
They've done that slightly, I guess, now, because, you know, Asuka is speaking all in Japan now, or Japanese. She's not talking English. So they're kind of like, they're sort of doing that, but it should have been done a long time ago. It's just like,
Well, I always thought that I'm trying to remember back. I don't remember ever seeing her speak English.
Barely. I think in backstage segments when she was being goofy with Naomi.
Well, because I knew Shinsuke always spoke broken English, which I always laughed at, because I've seen interviews with him away from the stage and everything, and he speaks fine.
He does. He speaks perfect English. You wouldn't even know if you were on the phone with him. So yeah,
I saw something with him, like him talking about, I guess he's a big surfer, and there was some surfing thing. He was talking to doing an interview with some people, and I'm like, okay, good, okay, part of the act. I was hoping. But watching that, though, makes it even better when, you know, that whole point, I think like 2 years ago, with him and AJ, you know, going back and forth, and he just kept, you know, ragging back and forth on AJ, repeating the same line over and over again. And it's like, that was perfect.
Built up his character to what it is now, which is actually a stable character and not that goofball thing. Like, I think I always had a problem with his little gyrations, but now I can deal with him now. I can deal with him now.
I remember when he first came out, we had a friend here. I think he was in Orlando, actually. He debuted. And our friend Steve-O, who's also a major, major wrestling fan, he was at the arena, and he was up in one of the big booths upstairs, and he was up there watching, and he saw him coming out doing the dance, and he's like, "What the hell is this?" And yeah. I had to explain his history, and he's like, "Okay, I kind of get it now." So we can go ahead and. Oh no! No! What do you mean by that? That's like they haven't, like, yeah. I mean, I know personally they've never picked him up and ran with it, with him. You always see the hope and the glimmer that, you know, they might do it, and then they never do.
It's just one of those things they leave in the back. They're just afraid to pull the trigger with that one. They're always like very hesitant on things, and that's a kind of, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. I guess we'll just start with the card itself.
Yeah, that's why I was just up bringing up my card right now, so we can do a quick rundown. Give our opinions, our thoughts, you know, what we think might be, will happen. I'm sure if we put money on it, Grant would probably beat us on here, because he's probably got a little bit more more insight than we do.
just a little.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to go ahead and start. I mean, we obviously don't know the true card. They never really officially announced, hey, this is what match is going to start. They always kind of keep you guessing. I'm assuming they're going to continue the way it's been going. I think it was men's and then women's. I don't know if they're alternating. I'm trying to remember from last year.
I think the women's was first. Was it women last? I think the women's was first.
Okay, I know the first one was women last, and then the bring up my history here.
So actually, speaking of match placement, guys, I really want to know what you guys think of them putting the world title on as the very first match of the night. You know what I mean? Like, what's the deal with that? You know,
devalues the title. That's what it does.
It does, absolutely. It's like that's the curtain jerker match. How do you progress from going, you know, from way down here to, you know, that crescendo at the top of that mountain? You know, with that title match, you know, you can't when you do that. You killed everything.
Yeah, you make the Rumble. The world title match should always be the match before the men's Rumble. I mean, it can't close the show, because the Rumble's always going to be the last thing. But you can't
put the world title should be the reason you're there, and that should be the reason everybody's there. That should be the reason everybody's watching. That's the reason you're in there with 30 other guys, putting your life on the line in the first place. You know what I mean? So what's your point by putting that on first?
It makes no sense. It's kind of like in WrestleMania this past year when they had Brock versus Seth as the first match.
I didn't get that.
It's just bizarre booking.
I'm looking. I'm looking over the match and the card from last year. Your pre-matches, you had the tag team match, singles match for the United States Championship, and then the cruiserweights, which perfectly fine in the pregame. I get that. Those are the ones you want. And then they jumped into the title matches, SmackDown Women's Champ, SmackDown Tag Champ, then Raw's Women's Champ, then the Women's Royal Rumble. So, yeah, last year the Women's Royal Rumble was in the middle, which that's good. Then they jumped into the heavy cards for the men. So then you had the WWE Championship, Universal, then the Men's Royal Rumble. So that's how they ended last year. If they continue this card this way, I think that would be perfect.
You know, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, because I think that's perfect. So when you're going into the Rumble, you know who they should meet up with come April. I mean, obviously, with the amount of pay-per-views they have between now and April, you know, God knows it, you know, it could change to who you're going to meet. But normally, I think that same champ is still the same champ when it comes time.
Yeah, they normally – they don't change course from that. They just go straight forward. I think there's another pay-per-view after the Rumble. I think – what, Elimination Chamber? Or is that after Mania?
Yeah, the Elimination Chamber coming up.
Okay, yeah, which it should be after Mania. I think it was after Mania for a while, wasn't it? And then for some reason they moved it before. I don't know. Just very bizarre the way they're just moving these pay-per-views around. It doesn't make any sense anymore. And it kind of just devalues a lot of the stuff. But,
yeah, you've got, like, you know, Stopping Grounds, Working Place. I don't know what else they're going to name them. You know what I mean?
That's the next one. WWE Working Place. It takes place right? in a parking lot.
Yeah, there you go.
Literally.
Who knows what they're going to come up with next? That bragging rights thing that they try to push on us every single time, it's just not going anywhere. You shouldn't do that. That should be just Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's, you know, well, I have my issues with the Survivor Series anyway with, you know.
Yeah, same here.
Basically saying, hey, you know what? NXT's better. You guys suck. That's basically what they said.
We didn't go anywhere with it. We just go back to the same old formula that this is the developmental.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It's like, oh, don't worry. That never happened. I'm like, oh, what? But it did. Get your ass kicked. Like, what happened?
Like Kane, and this is probably easy for me. You know what I mean? I'm just staying on our path. You know, I hate you for a month, and then all of a sudden we're best buddies forever until the next month comes up. It's the very same month. You know what I mean? And it's way too predictable.
It's so bizarre the way they do things. It's like they don't even think anymore. Just like it's like a joke to them. It's like, you know, I could do anything I want now. Like, and it literally just feels that way.
It's Survivor Series time. Guess what? I hate you. Get out of my face. You know what I mean? Now we'll be friends in December. Thank you, Joe.
Just so odd. I don't get that at all. But what do we got for the card? You got the card in front of you, Captain?
Yeah, I have the card up here. Yeah, it looks like I'm just going to kind of go along and with how they have it. We got first up single matches. Well, again, not really truly first up, but how it is on the list here. It's got single matches for Bayley and Lacey Evans for the Women's Championship. Of course, right now, Bayley is the champ.
I like what they're doing with Lacey, but they should have kept her as a heel. I don't like the face Lacey. Like, her whole persona is being like, you know, you guys suck, you know, I'm better than you, and coming from that old-timey era that she is. But she just doesn't fit as a face. She just needs to be a heel. And the whole Bayley heel run has been like, eh, I don't know.
You know, to be honest, Bayley, heel, face, whatever, I really can't buy into her at all, even being there. You know what I mean? It's almost like you chose a fan. You chose a fan, and here we are. You know, you gave her a wrestling contract. Just like, tough enough, only we chose them directly out of the stands. You know what I mean? I just can't get into Bayley. A wrestler is supposed to be somebody that you want to idolize, or you want to pay money to go hate, you know what I mean, or pay money to go cheer. I just don't see that in her at all.
Yeah, I don't think there's any money in her. And, you know, like, when she was brought up in NXT, that was her gimmick. She was like the super fan. Like, she was in awe of all these people and going into the ring, and she gave these extra efforts. She was always like the wounded warrior in the ring, and, you know, her ring work is okay. It's just like the character just doesn't do anything for me. Lacey has a better character than Bayley does to me. It's more committed.
That Bayley character works on a developmental level, but you've got to think, once you're past that stage of, oh, this is a super fan that's training to go on, you know what I mean? Where do you go from there? You can't. There's nothing to do, you know?
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at your boy. I'm Triple H. He was a Jean-Paul Levesque. He wasn't going to remain like the arrogant, snobbish, kind of like British dude forever. He took that gimmick and he evolved it, and he evolved it to what it was, and did it in the Hall of Fame career. So you can still keep part to that old gimmick. You just gotta evolve it. It's kind of like comics as well. You know, you move forward with, like, hey, this is this character. He's getting a little stale. Let's like toughen him. Like, the Undertaker was one of those guys. Is for years he took his character, the Dead Man character, and he just evolved it, tweaked it here and there. He was the biker guy. Then he was a dead man again, but it was an evolution of things that he threw in there.
But you are comparing Hunter and Taker to, you know, Bayley. You know what I mean?
That's true. I'm just saying, like, if she could find a way to tweak that character to make it work on the main roster, it could work. But, like, for what it is now, like, okay, you cut your hair, you change your outfit, and wow, you're a bad guy?
But we're doing it just because. You know what I mean? There's no reason that she actually turned that way. Like you didn't give us a reason to do it. You're doing it just because. I think if they would have given her a reason to do that, and then she would have been like, hey, then, you know, with lack of a better term, you know what I mean, for 2020, a ballet, but they do need those too, you know what I mean? She could have built her character through the ballet and then gone back to wrestling, you know, that kind of thing. You got to build a character first.
What are you talking about? She beat up the Bailey Buddies, man.
Well, I agree, like, to a point of, like, where you're talking about, like, building her up. I know there was one thing I've always heard people say, you know, when if anybody ever came to Hogan, to Austin, to, you know, to any of the major big guys that have been there and done their time in not only in the trenches, but also, you know, in the big show, basically, they will always say, hey, do you want to try to do this? Okay, but where are we going after that? It wasn't no to your idea, but where are we going after that? And then, like you were saying, to Bailey's side, yeah, we change, but where are we going after I change? What happens next? And I think that maybe it may be just a lack of, and I know this is kind of like going after NXT in the development program, but it that's where we're missing that growth in that road warrior weariness or in knowledge of being out on, you know, on the road and learning your craft, going from town to town and from little independent things. Cause I don't think a lot of these guys do that. They get picked up by them and they're trained one method and one method only. And she's probably afraid to question what's going to happen next.
But I think they all kind of walk an eggshell. Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid there was no place to go. Now, I do understand. I know right now the quality of matches and story that are going on right now in overall all of wrestling aren't that great. But there's a lot more opportunities nowadays in wrestling, I think, than before. Beforehand, you know, for the last decade, it's only been one place or two places, but you don't want to go to TNA. But now, you know, AEW's there. You got other places that are slowly opening up. So I think now is the time for some of these guys to nut up or shut up and question some of their things. I am a fan of Bailey, so when I do say everything I just said, so just so you understand when I do say this, I think she's there for the same reason a movie like, and Kane and I can, we'll talk about this, I don't know how familiar you are with the comic book movies or if you're even into movies, the new movie coming out of the Harley Quinn movie. It is Kane will give us the ugh sound here in a minute about it, but it's geared towards women and girls, and I think that's what Bailey is. Bailey is their one little, you know, thing to wave, a little carrot to the young girls to say, hey, buy my stuff, root for me. You may not buy into all the other girls yet, but you're going to be me because, you know, remember, she was the hugger, and that was something I think all the little girls loved.
Yes, I mean, right directly after that, they actually came out with a line of, like, you know, action figures that were more like Barbie dolls, you know what I mean? So yeah. I definitely see them going that direction, yeah.
Because I think that's the reason they brought her on. They were like, well, she's not, you know, any of the great ones. She's, you know, she's not going to be up there with Alexa. She's not going to be up there with the Nikki, going to be, you know, doing anything with Charlotte or Becky Lynch, but she's going to be her own, in her own little world for those little girls to root for. But she'll get up there and bump butt heads with the other ones.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the problem is that you don't want to shove them down, you know, your real tried and true wrestling fans throughout the week after week after week, because they're totally sick of them, so they don't even want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're in that mid-card, you know what I mean? That's the reason they're there. You know what I mean? It's kind of killing their career, to be honest.
Yeah, true. But do you honestly think they care about our diehard fans?
No, they don't. That's
the problem.
I mean, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, the Roman Reigns, you know, Daniel Bryan match, you know, the Royal Rumble one was proven of that. You know, the audience screamed at them when Roman Reigns won.
Yeah, there's times I think that Vince has an idea and he doesn't care who boos or how much money they lose or whatever. It's because you're not accepting it. He's going to shove it more down your throat. You know what I mean? It's just a principle of things.
And I get it because honestly, when he was coming up and when he made his success, that's what made his success was shoving it down people's throats, going, no, I'm going to break away from the territories. You know, screw you guys. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go take it to pay-per-views. That aspect back then worked. I'm going to shove it in your face and I don't care what you think. Nowadays that doesn't work, but he's still, I think, geared in that same mentality of business. And I think it just needs to soften up a little bit.
If you've noticed, there have been pay-per-views like screw jobs in the past. You know what I mean? There were a couple of WrestleMania, you know what I mean? Where they took the title away from Bret Hart and Hogan won it from Yoko. You know, people were pissed at that. People were, you know, they'd have a heel win, but there was a payoff layer. You know what I mean? Now there's not a payoff. It's just a continuous string of, it looks like we don't know what we're doing.
Darts on the dartboard, pretty much, man.
Mm-hmm. Then we have, the next match is a Interesting match. I didn't realize he was back. I haven't seen this in a little bit. Just a standard singles match. No title on the line right now. But Sheamus versus Shorty G. And if
I'll tell you what.
If anybody's out there listening and hasn't watched the wrestling in a while, Shorty G is Chad Gables. So if anybody's wondering, that is who this is.
What a horrible, horrible.
That's got to be the pre-game. That's got to be pre-match or pre-event, I think.
That's got to be a dark match, man.
Yeah.
Come on. Poor Chad.
Where on a card would you put somebody named Shorty G?
I know. Why not Chad? What was wrong with Chad? Chad never left with a bad taste in anybody's mouth. I don't remember. It wasn't like
exactly.
He was Chad, and he went away, and now he's back. Let him go. I don't think there was anything wrong with that. One of those things, change for change sake that doesn't make sense isn't right. You got to have a reason to change. And Shorty G is a 90s character name, not a 2020.
Just bizarre.
Yeah, so I actually saw him at the Performance Center come back, you know, after he cut his hair and everything. I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, this is going to be the guy. He has the look. He has the ability in the ring. He can do everything. You know what I mean? But what do they name him? Shorty G?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it's right up there with No Way Jose. When I saw that last year, I about threw something at the TV.
He's like a young Kurt Angle, Chad Gable. He's got talent, man. When he was wrestling with American Alphas, that tag team was pretty dope.
Oh, yeah, they were.
And like until this guy got hurt or whatever, he was Kurt Angle's son. I don't know.
Until the son Angle, and then that all kind of went.
But Gable's got that like that Angle build, and he's got I think he wrestled for the U.S. Olympic team, if I'm not mistaken, at one point. But he's got skills. It just sucks that they got to stick up with this Shorty G. Just terrible, man. I mean, does Vince hate him or something? Like, ugh.
Must owe him money or something. But yeah, you're right. 2012 Summer Olympics. He was an amateur wrestler. Wrestled in the London for the Olympics.
Yeah, see? So he's an athlete, man. You're going to basically just treat him like crap. I mean, obviously, Sheamus is going to win this match. I mean, I can't see Shorty G winning, but, you know.
I would hope not. That would just infuriate me to no end, especially Sheamus is still looking good. Still, I mean, and he's coming back. I mean, if they do that, I will highly question a lot more things.
Sheamus's deal is that his gimmick is that he's kind of upset with what is currently going on in the business without actually going there, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to, you know, piss off the office, you know what I mean? But he's that's the character. Kind of like what Randy Orton was doing with Jeff Hardy kind of thing. So I can't see Sheamus losing. I can see him destroying this kid, which is unfortunate because he's, like I said, Chad Gable has the look, he has everything. I would have chose Jason Jordan. I would have chose Chad Gable to be Angle protege, to be quite honest with you.
Oh yeah, because it fits. It's they're symbiotic. Their wrestling styles are very similar. And when they got Jordan, it was just like, you know, he's not bad, but you know, it's just
but not even that. I mean, his last name is Gable, right? So Angle is a legitimate Olympic wrestler. So is Gable's father. Why don't you just make the connection off of that?
What was that team that Kurt Angle had when he had back in the day? It was like Team Angle. You could have like the new Team Angle with Gable. Somebody else. I mean,
I thought that's where we're going, to be honest. Yeah.
It would have just made more sense. And then Angle could have been the manager. I mean, just like stuff like that, you could just see right in front of your face. And it boggles my mind how you have a multi-million-dollar company with way too many writers, by the way. Way too many writers. Yeah. Like back in the day when they were in their successive glory years, they only had like maybe two or three writers. That's it. They wrote the whole show. Now you walk into the room, there's like 30 of them. You don't need that many. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and everything's going to get discombobulated. Characters get lost. You don't know who to answer to who. It's just like, you know, you're playing that game. Like, you know, why am I doing this? What is this? And who are you writing for? It's just very frustrating.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. When I was at OVW, my time at OVW, when I was there visiting, Jim Cornette would have seminars, and Jim Cornette would talk about things, you know, related to how wrestling is written. You know, wrestling is now written by people that don't know wrestling. They know sitcoms, they know comedy, they know movies, but they don't know wrestling. You know what I mean? One of the most important things that wrestling did is it left you with a hook. It left you with a reason to come back and watch again. They don't even do that now. You know, when you turn on, you're going to see a 90-minute or whatever, you know, promo, and then, you know, you're going to go from there, and it's going to be the same thing over and over again, so why tune in?
Yeah, you're not being left with those cliffhangers like that we used to be, you know, where they would go off the air mid-fight, like, you know, all hell's broken loose. Oh, you know, tune in next week. What's going to happen? Yeah, you don't have that.
That means you want to tune in.
Yeah, because you have to have writers in the writing room that understand the psychology of wrestling. If you don't understand how to tell a story without speaking, then you're not going to get wrestling. And I think that's where they're running into. I think those writers are there mostly for their vignettes and that kind of thing, you know, because they all get their scripts and that, you know, there's no freestyle anymore. And that's another one that's killing it off. But again, it goes down to Vince wanted his empire. He wanted to be the king. He's the king, but now guess what? You've lost, you know, places where your new and up and coming ones can grow, can ferment and learn psychology and be ready for when they do jump in. They can just, you know, pick up and they understand instead of having to train them. Cause I know there's a psychology class, but you can't understand psychology unless you're, you know, doing psychology, you know. And I think, I'm a big fan of some of the podcasts that are out there for the wrestling, but you know, I always hear those stories about those guys, you know, riding shotgun with the vets and them just, you know, rebooking the territories in their heads and talking about doing this and doing that. I don't think there's that anymore for them.
No, not at all.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say you missed that dynamic. It's just like, you know, like a captain was saying, you know, you missed the big thing they're missing nowadays is having that talent with an older talent in a car and going on those like 5-6 hour drives to the arena and just sitting there and discussing like, hey, what do you think about this? Or maybe you should do this. You could tweak that. And you get into that veteran's head and he's going to give you opinion. And then that guy is going to take what he learned into somebody else who was a younger guy in the business. They don't have that no more. You're having guys, everything, like you said, it's pre-scripted and it comes out just very fake. It's not organic. It's not real. When I saw a promo with Cody Rhodes the other night in AEW, and AEW is not nowhere near WWE right now, but Cody Rhodes' promos are really have been on point since he's been in AEW. They're organic. They're not scripted. You could tell it comes from the heart, and that's what's missing nowadays. You don't have that heart. You can't feel it. If you don't feel it, I'm not going to feel it. If it comes out bland, exactly. It's like, oh, okay. And that's what's really missing nowadays in wrestling. And it's kind of disheartening, too, because it's just so bland. You see, there's talented guys out there. I'm sure they could do promos. They're just not being allowed to do them.
I feel like I have 3 words for the wrestling business. It's called make me care. You know what I mean? Make me care. Make me care about these people. Make me care about these matches. Make me want to cancel all my plans so all I'm going to do is watch, you know, Monday Night Raw. Make me care again. I'm begging you. You know, that's all I'm asking for, to be honest. Yep.
Definitely. Let's see. Next one up that we have. And again, guys, like I was saying beforehand, this is not how they're going to be airing. And this is just the list I have. And I'm going from least important to most important, so to speak. Okay. Next one will be Roman Reigns versus King Corbin. Falls count anywhere match. Basically, as light as I can go, a hardcore match from my understanding. So what do you guys think on this one? Let me ask you, Grant, have you ever been a Roman Reigns fan?
I have not, but I will tell you that him coming up when he was coming up with the Shield, that was the time to put the title on him. That was the time to make him invincible. You know what I mean? But as far as the three of them, Roman is the one I would definitely push, but they didn't build him. They didn't build him in our eyes. They just shoved him down our throat.
Yeah, I agree the same way. I was a huge fan of Roman during the Shield time, all three of them, in fact. I love that dynamic that they had. But yeah, then I felt like it was like, no, this is what I know. Eat it, taste it. You want this now. You know you want it. I'm like, no, I don't want it. He should be doing something else. And yeah, I definitely agree with that. One of my most disappointing acts, I think, or wrestlers that I think another one that they killed off and wasted was Corbin. When he came out from NXT, I thought what I tell you, Jeff, when I first saw him,
you said he was the next Triple H.
Yeah. I looked at him. He had the attitude. He had this look. I was like, that could be a new Triple H right there. And they just went with this. I think where they started doing the commissioner thing with him.
The caveat or something? The delicate? I don't know. It was something so stupid.
Just wasted it. So yeah.
Another character like him.
Yeah, so I would definitely have to agree with the Corbin thing and the Triple H comparison. Yes, in the look, but in the ring, there's no way. He knows one thing, and that's that final finisher. You know what I mean? And
is a badass finisher, but I like the finisher.
It
but
is.
Like
you're right,
I love it.
Nothing in between. Like when you talk about like Hunter's in-ring work, I mean, you talk about a Hall of Famer versus, you know, Baron or King Corbin, as they call him now, whatever.
Hunter, even as Hunter curtsying and stuff like that, you could see it. Everything was crisp. Everything was there. It's just a matter of time. You know what I mean? And that's the difference.
Yeah, and I don't see the work ethic in Corbin either. I mean, and maybe just me. I mean, I haven't been in the ring in a long, long time since I was training back in the day to be a ref. I told you that, Grant. But you just don't see, it just seems like it's lazy. And, like, yeah. One of the strangest things I've read, and I think Captain read it, I think, Grant, you might have read it. It's I hope it's not true. One of the reasons they've pushed Corbin, according to Vince, is the women think he's handsome.
I've heard that as well. Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I mean,
is that reason to push Arthur?
You're going to push him because of that? I don't know. But I'm not
he may be appealing, but is he going to accidentally injure one of your stars and cost you a whole bunch of money? Is he going to accidentally injure himself and cost himself a whole bunch of time in his life? You know what I mean? You can't put somebody in that position that only knows one move. I'm solidly behind that because I've been in the ring with people that only know one thing, and you're like, okay, that means I gotta take control of this match. You know, I absolutely know what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, that's coming from Roman. So, and Roman doesn't have that. His moveset's not that, you know, vast as well. So it's just, you know, he's gonna have to carry that match.
Yeah, exactly.
So who do we think on this one, Roman or Corbin?
Well, they're pushing Corbin big time now. It wouldn't shock me to see Corbin win, but I think Reigns is going to take it.
All right. What do you think?
For the inevitable, which we'll get to later.
Great. What do you think on that one?
It's a gimmick match, right? And the reason it's a gimmick match is probably to get Corbin over. You don't want Roman Reigns losing clean. You want to keep him, you know, going, you know what I mean? So at a certain time when they're ready to pull the trigger again on him and he has more connection with the fans, then they can go for it or what they wanted in the first place, you know, for the last 5 years. I would say Corbin would win, but not beating him, you know, cleanly.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and they're both going to be they'll both be meeting up again later in that Royal Rumble because they both are participants in that. So, I think that this will be a continuation of that. I think this is more of a cleansing palate match. You know, hey, we've done this one. This is just a little breather before we raise you up again. Next one we have, it will be singles match at for the WWE Raw Women's Championship, champ Becky Lynch against Ahsoka. So I did it again. Damn it, Star Wars. I hate you. Sorry.
Ahsoka Tana, huh? I don't know. I guess Asuka's not wrestling.
Asuka, you're asking her question.
Got to get rid of this Ahsoka pop in
you
front of me.
You said it again. See you go.
This time I meant Ahsoka. I've got an Ahsoka pop in front of me. I have to move it. I keep looking at it.
Yeah, you got to move that thing away.
So Asuka. So who do we have with them? What do you guys think on this match?
You know, Becky Lynch are trying to make her into the next Stone Cold. You know what I mean? The problem is that it's not in the same era, and it's not in the men's division. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just saying, you know, based on the education that WWE has, you know, given their fans, that women are, you know, they were the curtain jerker match, they were the popcorn match. I mean, that's just what they communicated to us. Now all of a sudden they want this serious division. You know what I mean? You're going to have to raise these people more. I would want Asuka to win because, to be honest, Asuka needs to break out of that tag team title thing and go on her own. Like I said, she could be the ultimate women's, like, killer. You know what I mean, basically. So.
Yeah, and especially if you watch her stuff in when I talked to Grant and her stuff in New Japan, she just wore the mask, didn't speak at all, and she was just violent. I mean, they're a little bit more stiffer over in New Japan, obviously, but this match, I think Becky's going to take it. Because, you know, she's never beaten Asuka. It's one of the things that they kept throwing over and over again. And then she's going to move forward to WrestleMania.
Well, if they're pushing that aspect of it, if the announcers are bringing that portion of it up, I would go with Asuka as well at that point. If the announcers are starting to constantly bring up that she's never lost, she's probably going to lose.
So you're going to give us the payoff with Becky at WrestleMania, probably. It's probably what they're going for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's right now, neither one of them, well, obviously Becky wouldn't be in here, but Asuka isn't in the list for the females Royal Rumble. So, yeah, that'd be interesting because I bet you what's going to happen is she's going to win. Becky will come running in to fill in an open spot.
So you're basically, so you're going to copy and paste what you did last year.
Is that anything different? I mean, have you not? Have we not seen the same freaking group of matches already? I'm just saying I've seen the last 5 years.
I know. I'm just saying they're going to do the same thing they did again, so they can just build Becky up again, so she can win the title at Red Mania. So,
You have to do that. I mean, the old ways was to have your you know, your face lose to a heel, so that way you have to have that big build up in that. In that taking over and defeating the evil heel again to make the champ look even better. Same thing with any movies.
That makes sense. But now they've like thrown that book completely out the window and you got people confused. They don't know what's left, what's right. Fans don't know what's happening, so they don't care. It's paralysis by analysis. You know what I mean? They just don't care anymore.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, if they just stick to even, I mean, if you even look at, you know, like the Marvel movies that have come out, I'm sure you've seen some of those, Grant. That you know, absolutely. you have to have the hero lose to come back and defeat the villain again to make them even, you know, better. And that's what basically wrestling is missing. I mean, if you have TV show writers and they don't understand that kind of formula, I don't know what they're writing TV shows for. Then I mean, what are they, you know, writing? You know, what is their history of writing?
That's the basis of telling a story. I didn't even learn that in wrestling. I learned that getting my communications degree. You know what I mean? That is the basis of telling a story at all, you know? Yeah.
You got to have that hero's journey. That's what's missing. Yeah. That's always been missing. That's always been my favorite part of wrestling is that journey. You follow him. He goes down. What is he going to do? Is he going to get back up? He's going to get back up. He perseveres. He comes through, and then he wins at the end. It's a simple formula that they just – For some reason, they just have failed to, you know, keep doing. It's so I don't know when they stopped doing this, but it's just I'm almost like dumbfounded thinking they haven't kept doing it.
Right. I always thought Vince McMahon is reading from the book of how to kill his own business in 30 days. You know what I mean? He's doing the exact opposite of what he was going for. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from. It all seems like he's playing a game. It's almost like, well, Stephanie, I don't want you to have the company. Guess what? I'm going to kill it. You know what I mean? That's almost what it's like, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
If I can't have it, nobody else will.
That's what it sounds like to me, because how does a genius with, you know, good God, he drew everybody in the entire world and got rid of all his competitors. WrestleMania became something like the Super Bowl. How do you go from, you know, genius like that to, we'll just kind of have our main guy lose all the time, 50-50 booking. We won't have anybody come up against anybody else. We won't make the title a big focal point. How do you go from that? You know, I don't understand.
And especially nowadays, I think that was, I'm trying to remember who I was talking to about it, but nobody stands out anymore. You had your icons that stood out actually, Kane, I think you even mentioned this last week, that people, we don't have that any of those champs or any of those wrestlers that jump into a different media sort. You know, yes, the Rock is probably the last one we've had. Cena, I take that back. But you don't have any of these guys actually going out and doing interviews on, you know, the late shows or any of that. You don't have them going to, they'll do it during WrestleMania, and all of them will do that. But you don't have one that in the middle of the year just because.
No, they don't they don't transcend anymore. That's the biggest problem.
That's right, yeah.
They do not transcend. And like you know, honestly, we'll talk about, I guess we'll get to it now, because you know, Grant's favorite wrestler is Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins to me is, you know, when they put the belt on him, you're like, okay, he's got skill. I know Grant will disagree. He does have a little bit of skill. You know, he in the ring work is pretty solid. But do you see him as a face of a company going on interviews, you know, on the Tonight Show or something, transcending the company? He just doesn't have it in him. I think I heard the podcast one time with, I think it was Steve Austin, and he was talking to JR, and they were talking about the match that he had with Triple H at WrestleMania. And they were talking about his intro to the ring. You know, Seth has this, you know, basically bland intro with his fireworks and his weak ass theme music. And then he's fighting Triple H. Triple H has this 10-minute intro coming on a motorcycle with his wife, has Motorhead playing in the background. I mean, come on. I mean, even Triple H, I mean, he didn't do that much stuff on the big screen, but he was a guy who transcended. And a guy like Seth doesn't. That's why they took the title off him, because he just did nothing. Just did nothing with it. I mean, sure, he's a great worker, but he didn't. You can't have the title make the man. The man has to make the title. That's an old saying that I heard from Triple H. That still has to be that way. You can't delude the world title, and that's why they put it back on Brock. Because he's a guy, like him or hate him, he transcends. People will watch Brock. nobody's going to watch Seth.
Brock is a superstar. So them putting the title on him and letting him win all the time, I would do the same damn thing. You got nobody else.
What else are you going to do? I mean, like I said, you gave Seth the chance. You gave, like, you literally gave him the ball, and he did nothing with it. And now he's stuck in basically meaningless six-man tag matches. I guess I think that's one of the matches.
So back to that match at WrestleMania 33, I was actually there, and I fully, even though Rollins and I, and this is from my past, I've known Rollins since I was a kid, even though we don't fully 100% get along, there is an issue there. You know, think about it. You're facing Triple H, right? What do you expect to happen to you after you beat Triple H?
You should be elevated.
You should be. Should be the freaking champion, right? You should be, as you like to say, the man, right? But what happened to him? He became a tag team champion. There was something in that match that Triple H was like, okay, you've injured so many people. I'm going to touch you myself. You know what I mean? I don't fully trust what's going on here. We're going to give you time, you know what I mean, because I like you. But usually if you beat somebody like Triple H or something like that, usually you're the next guy.
That's the way it's always been. Yeah, that's the way it's always been. Flair's done it many times for people. He did it for Sting. He did it for Luger. Rhodes did it for him. I mean, and so on and so forth. And, you know, Hunter thought he was doing that guy a favor. Okay, you know what? I think you can be it. But, you know, in retrospective, he's just not.
I mean, the only thing that will consistently bring him back into any communication or talk about his quality, it's just every once in a while in a match, he'll do an amazing spot. And that's about it. You know, and that's all. The rest of the time, he's right there with everybody else. He doesn't show anything special.
Yeah, there's really nothing special about him. I'm not trying to jump on Grant's, you know, bandwagon of the hating of Seth. I'm saying it for myself as in perspective as a fan. He's just so bland. There's like nothing to him. Like every year he has to change his name. Oh, I beat Triple H. I'm the Kingslayer. I beat Brock Lesnar. I'm the Beast Slayer. So what, if he's faced Ultimo Dragon at WrestleMania this year, is he going to be the Dragon Slayer this year? I mean, I don't, like, can we just stop this already? It's so silly. It's just silly.
So I got another name for him this year. They can call him the Ratings Killer this year.
Oh, wow, yeah, well.
Awesome. All right, so our next one, which we kind of already talked about a little bit, but we'll talk more about it, is The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. In a strap match. And Grant, if you'd like to, since you're, you know, more in the business than we are, what exactly is the definition of a strap match?
That's actually the first time I've heard about this. When was the stipulation added to this
match? Recently. Jade here. Yeah, I don't see when it was added.
Yeah, I don't see when this was added on here.
So if it's a strap match, basically what this is, the old school way anyway, is that if it's four corners, you know what I mean, they need to touch all four corners after two men are being tied together. So I don't know if they're going that route or if they're just going, hey, you know, we're just strapping them together for absolutely no reason. You know what I mean? I don't know now on current WWE standards, you know what I mean, what they're going with this. Like, this is the first time I've actually heard about this.
Yeah.
I do know that they were building based on, you know, The Fiend and Daniel Bryan's history, which, like, is a point that you made earlier, you know, is that The Fiend, the good thing about The Fiend, and I've noticed this, is he's not forgetting that he was Bray Wyatt. It's not like it's a total, you know what I mean, disconnect of the characters he's been before. Like, he's going back after, you know, Kane, Seth Rollins, people like that, you know, people that he's dealt with before, you know what I mean? They're not making a total disconnect with that character, which I like. But Bray Wyatt's best quality is his charisma. So I'm glad that he's not constantly wearing that mask. You know, that's why people want to watch him. That's why people care. They don't know what he's going to do next.
And he has max creative input into that character too, from what I've read. I mean, he did a similar character, I think, in the Indies many moons ago, where he was wearing like a Slipknot mask, came out to heavy metal music. And it's like I said before, you take elements of the old character, Bray Wyatt, which he did, which one of the cool parts, if you see that lantern, that's literally the head of Bray Wyatt that he carries in the ring with, and almost like a reminder of what he was. And he just, you know, holds it out there like that. But his character's been, you know, pretty, like, it's one of the few characters that's been built solidly. And that's coming from him, because you have input from the guy. He's like, look, this is what I want to run with. And I think, I don't know, Vince or somebody else is in charge of him, but whoever it is, they're listening to the guy. And the character is obviously over. So, and now you have this, and now you have a great, just monstrous, murderous heel champion going against Daniel, old school Daniel Bryan now. And
but the problem with Bray Wyatt is anytime he gets any kind of momentum going the heel route, they make him flashy and he turns to a face. They did it with The Undertaker with him, you know, with the big WrestleMania entrance because they wanted, you know, that Firefly entrance. That's all they wanted. Yeah, but you killed your character in the process. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they wanted. And every time Wyatt gets anywhere elevated, they make people like him. And as a heel, you don't want that. You want them to pay to hate you, which in retrospect, they actually like you. You know what I mean? Triple H is the same thing. You know what I mean? It's about being this unbelievable heel that doesn't like anybody in any way, shape, or form, that you're this force. That's what Bray Wyatt needs to be.
I would agree with that, because I guess what they're afraid of too, and this is, I don't know if it's true or not, Grant, they're afraid of like merch sales. They want to sell t-shirts and stuff like that. And they're, I don't know why they keep thinking this way. Oh, a heel's never going to sell as much as a face t-shirt. I go, that's ridiculous.
Think about the biggest selling t-shirt right now, or actually in the history of wrestling, period. NWO.
Yeah.
NWO, you can still see NWO t-shirts out there.
Yeah, people don't even know what the NWO is.
Exactly. Yeah. That is a major heel faction. And that is really, I enjoyed the hell out of that time, but I think that is one of the things that broke the heel faction and the heel chemistry that we all understood was the NWO, because people then joined and rooted for the anti-hero. Because they became, that's what they became, and that became a, that's where I think a lot of that formula and that psychology broke within the fans, and a lot of times it's still in there with us, that we still want to still root for that bad guy a little bit. And I think the joining factor of Bray coming in, like you guys were saying, the Fireflies, I think that's a big thing, that's the coolest thing about it, but it includes the fans, so the fans want to see him more. And then that's when they start kind of rooting for him. I think the best thing to ever do, and it kind of even freaked me out, Kane and I talked about this, the lantern, how he morphed the lantern into Bray's face, which was very a la there's a Batman comic book that came out last year, Batman, The Last Night on Earth, and he's walking around with the Joker's head in a lantern, and it was like almost a complete copy of that. And I love that, mm-hmm. that factor. And but that was one of those, like you were saying, kind of one of those things you want to hate him because it there was a shock factor to it that even took me back. And I'm a Marilyn Manson fan, King Diamond. I don't know if you guys know who the local band of Agenda Tortures is. They did like S&M stuff up on stage. I mean, I'm okay with watching Shock. That even shocked me a little bit when I first saw that.
But it's Shock that worked. That's the thing. It worked. Because it easily could have been looked at as very silly.
And I think it was when you got to remember when that first like I had a lot of people at work were like when the Firefly house or came out the first time, they're all like, what the hell is that? What is he doing? And then like a month later, they're like, okay, all right, what's going on?
right. Yeah, I was like that. But like I said, once again, Bray Wyatt's best asset is that charisma, that personality. You know what I mean? His promos are top notch. He's one of the few. Besides like Damian Sandow, you know what I mean? That before they even stepped in the ring had a reaction from people just by a promo.
Yep, yeah. I agree. And I've been a Brave fan since the beginning. I think they wasted him a lot of times. They rushed a lot of cool storylines that he was in. I think the one I always, when Kane and I are talking about it, of how WWE seems to tend to rush storylines and not let it breathe. Yeah. I know it's a silly one, but it worked for all three characters that were involved. Is when he stole Kane and Undertaker's powers.
That was cool. I've done that.
It ended on a SmackDown when they were filming in Britain. I'm like, what the heck is that? It like literally lasted 3 days. I'm like, well, all you should that could that is like 3 months worth of material you just blew on.
Can you think of the magnitude of that story? That would help Undertaker's career in his final moments. That would help Kane's final moments. That would have elevated Bray Wyatt to the next damn level. You know what I mean? That would have made the two with him, you know, Luke Harper and, you know, the other guy. See, that's what I'm saying, the other guy. You know what I mean? They didn't elevate them. You know what I mean? They didn't give them what they needed. Yeah.
But, Eric Rowan's who you're looking for.
Eric Rowan, I do apologize. It's like I said, that's the thing that should tell you. You know what I mean? It's like the last 10 years have been nothing but a confusing kind of, you know, jumble of stuff. Like I've seen matches that I didn't even know they did a program on. I didn't even know they did Alberto Del Rio versus one of the Lucha House Party in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Why did you do that? You know what I mean? I don't get it. You know what I mean? Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What do you guys think? Who do you think's coming out? The Fiend as the champ or Daniel as the champ?
They got to keep the belt on the Fiend.
Think so?
Yeah.
I'm green on that. I don't want to see Daniel come back with the wood belt anyways.
Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry, I had to bring that one up.
Oh, boy. That was...
And it's so funny. See, I used to tell Kane that Bray is the type of character that doesn't want a strap. He wants to take it away from somebody just to screw with him. And I love the fact that he's got a belt now. Like, his character to me was always – he never wanted to have the material of a belt. He just wanted to break somebody and twist their minds. And I think I'm liking him with the belt right now.
Yeah. So going back to that, and I've told Kane this several times, is when Bray Wyatt was sitting in that rocking chair, you never knew when he was going to strike. And he had that mind control, almost like a cult following type thing that he had. You know, that's what you wanted to see. You never knew when he was going to be the one to get out of that chair, deliver, the Sister Abigail, you know what I mean, and win that match for his team. You never knew when he was going to strike. That was the appeal of Bray Wyatt. When he brought in the monster, Braun Strowman, I thought, man, this is the vehicle that he's going to use to deliver the title to Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt should have never won the title in a wrestling match. Bray Wyatt should have been handed the title from one of his, minions, and there you elevate Bray as well as Braun Strowman. Strowman would have had a better face turn.
Exactly.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
And I still say, I think probably one of my favorite times with Bray was with the Woken Matt Hardy. I think that whole time was so much fun, just because you actually
it was fun. I just wish it was longer.
Again, they just rushed. Yeah. And I think that they're, from my understanding, from what I've heard and behind the scenes of things I've heard, they feel that they need to rush because today's society is younger. They want things quicker. I really don't think so. I think if you slow down, they would appreciate that more and that build. Yeah, it's an instant society now because they want to get news faster and they want to be able to talk quicker. But I think if you actually present them, the younger audience, even the 20-year-old, 30-year-olds, with a good pace, maybe drag it out a little bit longer story, as long as it's a good story, I think they'll stick around. And I think they're afraid. I think what they just need to do is just take one program, one person, two guys, put them together and make a long, drawn-out, 5-month, story arc and see how that goes. Do the other ones as quick as you want. Do this one slower and just test the waters. I think they'll be successful.
I would agree.
We as fans want to care. And that's the main point. We make us care.
Yeah.
Yep. I think sometimes they just rush in because they don't have the story. They're like, we've got a shell of a story. We've got a good outline, but we don't have the meat to put inside of it. So let's just do it with a quick outline really fast and run it by their eyes, and maybe they won't notice there was no meat in there.
Well, a lot of times, as in, I don't know if you're following the Bobby Lashley Russo thing. A lot of times they give a really complicated story to 5 people who probably can't pull this off right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Either because you didn't build them to be at that level, or they just don't have the charisma to pull that off right now.
You don't want to. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody's a Lashley fan. I know Kane was, and he used to rave about it. But Lashley. You don't
I like Bobby Lashley.
I love Lashley. I think he's diluted. The Vince look. But it's just.
Yeah, I just don't know if he can carry a good in-depth storyline.
Not speaking. When he was with Lio Rush, that was one of the better runs they had. They should have kept that going. Big giant monster guy with a mouthpiece. That's what you need.
They need some more mouthpieces out there.
Did you see the wedding? Did you see his reaction to some of that stuff? Some of that stuff was just like, what kind of look is that? You know what I mean? That's not even a soap opera, I smell a fart look kind of thing. You know what I mean? It was literally, what are you trying to, you're trying to act, don't act, Bobby. You know what I mean? Just kill. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just maim, just destroy it.
That strap match was actually announced SmackDown just 2 days ago on Friday. So that's why you may not have seen it. I don't know if it was something afterwards after Daniel and Kane, jumped to Bray. They're on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan's the one that announced that to be a strap match.
Okay. Sometimes they do that, which I'll give them, add a benefit for people, there who paid their money, I will give them that, absolutely. Yes.
Next one, and I guess we'll go straight to the Royal Rumble, women's. Right now, we only have, as of this morning, or to right now, today, only 4 of the 30 have been announced, and we're talking Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and then Sarah Logan just the other day announced through her Twitter feed that she will be doing it. So anybody screaming here in the just these four? I know it's a smaller group, but anybody looking promising?
If it's going to be four, it's going to be a slow Royal Rumble match.
It's just four and right now. You know they're going to announce some more. Then at least you got to consider at least 5 to 8 surprises. You're always going to do that. Because you're going to have your returning match, your surprise guy that's probably going to be in there for, 3 seconds. Your legend's going to run out. Something's going to happen, so you at least give them 5 to 8 of those.
So what you just told me, basically, it sounds like a Super Bowl. You know how you watch the Super Bowl for commercials? You're watching the Royal Rumble for the surprise entrances. Is it supposed to be that way? I don't know, but that's what's happening.
Yeah. Sometimes I do look forward to it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I do too. I ain't gonna lie. I mark out sometimes. Like, oh, look at this guy. He's still alive.
And so far, no stipulations on the women's one. No, nothing announces who's first, who's last. They haven't done that yet. Like I said, there's only four people. I think by the end of this, we're going to find out. Tomorrow, we still have tomorrow's Raw, or by the time this gets announced, and then also then SmackDown on Friday. So I'm pretty sure we'll get a little bit fuller.
And don't forget about the NXT girls too. They're probably going to be in there as well.
Yeah, you got those as well. Yeah, because right now that's just Raw and SmackDown that have been announced. Me personally, I'm a Nikki Cross fan, so I always like to see her. I think she does great. Just her
character. Like Nikki Cross when she was in NXT.
They toned her down a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know about that, but
trying to be nice here.
I know you are trying to be nice, Tunis.
With the women, the thing is, the big draw with that is, since this is only like the third year they've done it, the surprise entrances are going to mean a whole lot more, because like it was last year, Tori Wilson. When has Tori Wilson been in a ring? You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. That's what people are looking for. Probably looking this year for people like Victoria, Melina, surprise entrances like that that you only see one time a year. And because it's so rare for them to have a women's Royal Rumble, this is only the third year, people are more looking into those surprise entrances than they are the guys to be like, no offense. I Hurricane's awesome. He's an awesome guy to talk to. But like the Hurricane coming out, Jamie Noble coming out, somebody that is in the back, that it's almost like they just threw their gear on and they're number 30 just for that night. The women, it's like, I haven't seen these women in a while. I want to see what they look like.
Yeah. And sometimes you also look at Royal Rumble to bring out anybody. Like if you see anybody that's popping in there that you haven't seen in a while, any of the legends or somebody returning, those are sometimes hints of who might be, coming up for the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, we don't have any. We only have, two things happening announced for the Hall of Fame right now. And, that's Batista and New World Order. That's all we know. So, for the women, so nobody's getting inducted yet for the women side of the Hall of Fame. So maybe we'll see something. I think I was really surprised with Beth Phoenix popping out last year. That was my, I was like stoked when I saw her coming out.
She's still in phenomenal shape too.
Oh yeah. Well,
phenomenal shape.
So I'm pretty sure her edge is staying pretty active.
Yeah.
I her every Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, at NXT, she's an announcer on NXT at the right next to Mauro. Right there. I talked to her Wednesday.
That's good. I'm glad. I like seeing Beth back.
Then we have the men. So I think because it seems like they've alternated. So I wonder if this year we're going to have the women's last, because last year it was the men's last, and then 2 years ago it was the women's. So I wonder if – so we might see that last. Now for the men's announced, 19 of the 30 – entrants have been announced as of right now. They run. We have Roman, Brock Lesnar, Styles, Eric Rowan, Randy Orton, Mysterio, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Elias, King Corbin, Dolph, Otis, for God's sakes, and Tucker, Rusev, Bobby Lashley, Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, Braun Strowman, and Shinsuke. So that's what we have right now. And again, just like I said with the women's, you got your surprise entrances and that kind of thing. So,
yeah, probably be Philip. Like I said, a couple more NXT people. But
So you got
there might be some surprises here. I'm thinking there might be. Like I don't think last year there was any, which was kind of didn't add
for the
much
men's division. Just again, like what Grant was saying, Hurricane popped in. You had some people that were just local and like, hey, why don't you pop out, and just do a quick thing, run out there for a minute, flop around, and then get out.
I tell you what, there's two people there maybe that they could show. I don't know if they're going to show up. I think Grant talked about one in particular that he saw online that was – I hope it's true, but – and there's another one who's pretty close to WWE. I mean, they have the ability to really blow the arena
Yeah. Well, again, like I was saying, that your Hall of Fame, you have the induction of the NWO. So why not have a run in?
Oh, just don't have Hogan run out there, please. I love please.
He's a bit of an overstatement, bro. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, he's still recovering from his back surgery, so I don't see that happening. Any of you guys see that picture a couple of weeks ago? He posted on Twitter. He's like full freaking just like old man beard right now, man. It's
Santa Claus beard, dude. Like, he's old man now.
Yep. The only stipulation or news we have for this one is Brock Lesnar will enter as number one. It's the only thing that is like set stone. This is what's going to happen is Lesnar number one.
Strange.
So do you guys want to put, you know, are you thinking, you know, the Beast being another one that goes into that record book of being there from the beginning to the end?
I think he's going to be in there for a while because, you know, he is a main attraction. I don't think he's going to win it. I'd be shocked if he won it. I mean, what is he going to do if he wins? He challenges himself to WrestleMania and takes WrestleMania off. I mean, that'd be hysterical. Like, I win and I want to fight me, but I'm not going to fight me, and I'm no WrestleMania for you. Like, that'd be kind of strange. But, yeah, it's they had to put him in there because he wasn't going to wrestle anybody, and he is your main attraction. So he's going to be in there for a while. I could see him being there at least, you know, half hour, 30 minutes.
So the problem I have with that is that the belt is in the middle of that. If they would have, you know, after Brock Lesnar won that, you know, Money in the Bank fiasco, you know what I mean? After literally just walking down there and grabbing the belt and he wasn't even in a match, you know what I mean? And becoming champion for a long time. They would have stripped him of that after that. And then this is the reason that he's coming back, is to beat the snot out of 30 of these superstars, you know what I mean, to win that belt. It would have meant a whole lot more heel or face than him just walking in there as champion. Because when he's eliminated as champion, because he's going to be, because there's no storyline to go through with that, that makes him look bad. That makes him look weak going into WrestleMania. But that makes the title look bad. You know what I mean? You eliminate your champion halfway into that Royal Rumble match. Why? You know, there's no reason to it.
There's no purpose to it.
Or he just kind of hangs out, screws around for a little bit, lasts until the last three people. He can choose who he wants to take in there, and then him and that person eliminate the other one, and he just walks over the top rope by himself. He doesn't get eliminated. He eliminates himself, so he's guaranteed he's going to wrestle one guy.
I can see the fans throwing everything they possibly have in their hands.
they'll be a riot.
It's the only way to save a little bit of face for him is to eliminate himself, to say, hey, nobody eliminated me, so he's at least going to keep that champ level. You know, no, I didn't get eliminated. I walked out on my own, and let whoever was left in the ring, you know, battle it out on by themselves.
Yeah, a lot of angry people there, dude.
I would create a whole other person. You know what I mean? I would create a whole other, you know, contender for him. Have him be to the very end. Have him be in there with two or three more people. Have somebody eliminate him at the very end, and they're aware that's going on to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar for the world title.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so what we shall see. But I mean, anybody that you guys are like itching for, or anybody that you see going, like, that's happening right now that you feel should be there for the next. I know WrestleMania is the bookmarker for, hey, this is the beginning of our new year of things to come. Anybody you guys see foreshadowing to step up and be the man, to take a bad quote?
There's just nobody there. I think they're just gonna go with they're just gonna go with Roman. I think I just have that feeling. I don't want it to be Roman.
You've had a bad hard on for a Roman, like an angry hard on.
Not an angry hard on. It's just it's like one of those things. You know, they want him to face the Fiend. I think, and I think they're gonna have him end the Fiend streak, which I think is a mistake, because it shouldn't be Roman. It should be somebody else. You know, you should, like, this is the perfect opportunity. I don't think they're gonna do it. I wish they would. But this is the perfect opportunity to rebuild Finn Balor right now. He could win the Rumble, and then you have the Demon versus the Fiend at WrestleMania. You know, and a rebuilt Demon this time, not the wacky Demon we got last time. I'm talking.
Well,
like
you're talking two different types of belts, though. I mean,
yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, the way like they did it before, like the Fiend in NXT was a thing that Finn Balor didn't want to bring out. He's like, you know, this is like my last case resort. I don't want to bring this guy out. I don't know what's going to happen. And when they brought it up to the main roster, they kind of like diluted it a little bit because they kept using it, you know, often. And like, oh, it's an attraction now. It's not supposed to be an attraction. it's supposed to be like a last case resort. Like, he doesn't want to use the fiend. I mean, the demon. And I think if you, I don't think it's enough time to build it up, but that's a possibility if they wanted to go that route.
You had to give Finn Balor a reason to resort to that demon character. You didn't give him a reason. You just said, "Hey, it's SummerSlam. You're the demon." You know what I mean? You didn't give him a mental reason to break down. Like, you want to go back to, you know, your superhero comic book type thing. You know, there's always a reason why that person who was a good person becomes a supervillain. You know what I mean? You got to give him a reason.
I think the first time they used it when he did come up to the main roster, I think it was against Bray, and I thought that was the perfect reason, you know, because of that he had to bring it up to the next level. And then I think the next time after that was it Seth?
I think so.
Yeah. And honestly, I have to tell you, I wasn't excited about that one, but I loved the building promos for that from Balor. I thought where he did the history of the what Finn means and what is a Balor, and he does this like cool little backstory to himself, and I was like, okay, that's a really good promo. Seth's promos were really bad at that one, but for that time, I thought it was a great. Great building block for him.
Concur on that, sir.
Yeah, I can tell you that at NXT, Finn Balor is killing it right now. Like they that building is just, you know, shaking every time he comes out. You know what I mean? Like, he is a heel over there, but still, they're invested in that character. They're invested in wanting to see him. So I would definitely love to see him back on the main roster.
Yeah, especially if he's getting that kind of reaction, you know, on NXT.
Oh, it's incredible! They had parking lot brawl the other night. It's awesome. Awesome. Yep.
Well, they're building him back up the way he should be. And I think it was like one of the better moves when they put him back down there in NXT. Now, you know, there's a want for him. And, you know, like I said, hopefully they bring him. I think he might show up at the Rumble. I'll give it a 50-50 chance he shows up. Him or Edge. I'm not sure.
You were saying an NXT person. I mean, that's perfect. He would be perfect for that. You know, he's a recognizable face to the main people that don't watch NXT. And he can still be an NXT, you know, hit that check mark for an NXT wrestler to show up in the Royal. So that'd be great. I wish I could see more from Aleister Black. I was a big fan of his during the NXT run, and I'm just disappointed in everything he's done since he came up to the roster. I was rooting for him big time that they would do something positive with him.
Just some bizarre things with him. It's just like they had these weird vignette interviews where he's in that room and he's like, open the door. Like, why? It's just the things they do with him are just a little strange. Like I said, it's poor booking, poor writing. Yeah. Like,
I think it would have been a good addition to it, like going against like a Bray Wyatt character before.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It's like positive versus negative. You know what I mean? Because Aleister Black is about, you know, being he's strange, you know what I mean? And he's off, but he's positive about it. You know what I mean? Bray Wyatt would be the evil side of it. You know, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, before they changed him over to the Fiend, I always like, man, that would be the perfect one. That would be the great run. You have a vet of sorts in Bray showing Aleister the ropes of how to do things and what they want up here. And I thought that would have been a great run for him. But you know, we can always wish him one hand and you know what in the other. So as far as Grant, what do you see? Do you have anybody that you're like hoping for, or do you got a gut instinct? Yeah, I could see him coming up on this Royal Rumble.
In the Rumble, to be quite honest, like Kane mentioned, there are two people and only two people that literally, if they walked out there and you heard that music, that roof would blow off that building. There's Edge and there's CM Punk. And those are the two people that I would even like completely mark out for and be like, I got to watch this. You know what I mean? But with Brock, I think, to be honest, like I said, it would have made way more sense if they would have taken the title off Brock and Brock was pissed off and had a reason for being in there against all three of these guys. It's just going to be a Brock Lesnar smorgasbord. That's what I'm looking at, I think, you know. And I hate to say it, but they could do so much more with it. But I think that's all it is. It, to be quite honest, exhibition for Brock, you know. You could do the same thing in a park, you know, to be honest. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have Braun Strowman in there at one point with him, so it'd be those two forces, you know, knocking everybody out of the ring at once.
Oh, yeah.
He might have that moment.
Another record for eliminations. There you go, Braun.
Yep. But when it comes to Strowman, how long before he's dancing and rapping? You know what I mean? And that character is going so it doesn't look good, you know.
Yeah. Brodus Clay. Oh God. No.
There you go.
Oh God.
He stands for something else now, but yeah.
He stands for something a little bit different now, but Man, I just had that image in my mind of Braun Strowman wearing a weird hat and started dancing with his still. Sadly, I could see that happening.
Think about it. There's another guy, like you mentioned with Seth, you know, with the ratings killer. Sorry. But when he went over Triple H, right? Well, didn't he flatten Triple H at a Survivor Series? And he thought next, you know, Braun Strowman was going to be the guy. That never happened either. You know?
There was a push for a couple, maybe 6 months, I think, for him. And then it just kind of fizzled away. I was like, what was that? All that work you guys put in for?
Yeah, it was. They
call him the Big Show, right? He's exactly like the Big Show. He's been heel and face more times than anybody can count in a span of 6 months. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like it's turning sort of like on the dime. I don't know. It's just mind boggling. But yeah, if Punk or Red show up, I'll have a heart attack. Especially Punk. I don't think it's gonna happen though. I think they've teased it, but he's technically right next to WWE. He does work for Fox, and it's funny that Punk works for Fox and he consistently craps on the product. I find that hysterical.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Every week long, he's just saying your product sucks, right on your show.
Yeah. So I know Phil Brooks, CM Punk, really, really well. He actually taught me how to arm drag and stuff like that. I know him really well. I'm from Chicago as well. Know him, know Cole Cabana, the whole nine yards. Phil is in it because he loves wrestling. He's not in it because of money. I think he's enjoying this little thrill. You know what I mean? Kind of telling WWE what to do. You know what I mean? For Fox. I think he's enjoying it. I don't think he ever really wants to wrestle again because I got to tell you, that concussion thing killed him. He killed his momentum, killed his motivation, and killed everything. You know what I mean? As well as AJ Lee. You know what I mean? AJ quit too. You know, so there's that thing of, you know, am I going to be happy in life or am I going to just, wrestle? You know what I mean? And I think he's thinking that.
And he can get the best of both worlds because he can be in the business in a way, still get his 2 cents out there about what's going on, and yet not
be standard in practices, man. How does it get any better? You know, so
yeah. Pretty much, yeah. You said the nail on the head. I mean,
I saw an interview with him just before he jumped over there, and he's like, told everybody, he's like, I'm not going back, guys. I'm here with Fox. I'm here to do this, and that's why I was like, you know what? That's get in there. And get into the business you still love. I know it's one of those things where you can watch what's going on, and you always. I'm sure he's always going to have that itch of wanting to do it. You know, I think Austin even said it. He's like, it took him a long time. He had to be away from the business a long time to lose the itch. And he's like, when I get around it, I still have it, but I don't miss it as much as I used to. And that's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be, I used to do a lot of, on stage performances. I know that rush. It's mm-hmm. big, and I'm nothing compared to what they get. So I can definitely understand the addiction. But yeah, it's great.
Exactly. To see. If I can confer with you, it is so hard to sit there as a fan or an audience member, isn't it? And just sit there and then not like look at your phone, not want to leave, not want to do all the stuff. I just paid $200 for a WrestleMania ticket. All I want to do is go. You know what I mean? Yep. It's hard when you're not the one wrestling.
Yeah, because you're hearing things, you're smelling things, and that just gets your mind gearing up to where, well, usually when I hear and smell these things, I'm getting ready to do what they're doing, but I'm not. I have to sit here and watch. Yeah. So
I'm sitting here.
Yep.
It's one of the things. All right. So that, guys, is pretty much the show. I mean, we've broken down the Royal Rumble. We've given you guys some history on it. We are planning to do a WrestleMania one coming up. So, Grant, you are more than welcome to come back, man. It's been great. We've always told everybody there's an empty chair over there. Thank you for sitting on it. Most of the only time we've ever had anybody over there was our friend Steve-O for our Star Wars watch alongs, and those were always pretty good.
Well, awesome. I was glad to be here. Absolutely. Had a great time with you guys. And just remember that everything in life is a gimmick, but I'm the ultimate student of the game.
All right, guys, make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com. You can find all of our links there to not only just Heroes Asylum, which obviously is this show, but also our other show, Midnight Movies, which is hosted by Kane, and he breaks down. We do watch-alongs. He's done a couple of reviews on some stuff. He's got a new watch-along coming out. Actually, two watch-alongs coming out this week, one for Flash, which I joined him on, Flash Gordon. Well, not to get confused with the superhero, but actually Flash Gordon. And then there's a animated one he's going to do. I'm releasing here a little bit later. It's late when I since I this was done I think back in January 1st for him.
I think so it was New Year's. Yeah,
I've been slacking on getting that one together. I do apologize, Kane, but that will be out. And then also there's links to all of our friends that are out there, guys. Make sure you check out Acme Comics locally. They have a great if you guys are wrestling fans, obviously if you're still here at this point, you are a wrestling fan. They have an amazing wrestling aisle. So of every action figure, every collectible, every belt you could think of down that row. So make sure if you guys are interested, make sure you get out there, check out Acme, you see Josh and the boys, and they can get you set up. But also for your comic book fans, that's where you're going to want to go and get your goodies. But you can find all of our stuff there. Kane, what do you got for us, man?
Well, as always, Twitter is at The Heroes Asylum, and Instagram, Heroes Asylum. We got to do more stuff on Instagram, by the way. That's a faux pas on my point. And as always, the Facebook area is the main area of source of, you know, for all our conversations that we have there on the Heroes Asylum Facebook page, which is growing substantially, by the way.
Yes.
Substantially. It is, one point we were like at 100 and now we're like close to 5. So please, thank you guys. We appreciate the likes. We appreciate the shares. Please post anything, by the way. If you got questions, ideas for some new Midnight Movies watch-alongs that we have. I think we're going to have another one coming up shortly, which is part of a new saga that we'll get into. But, yeah, definitely get us out there. We listen, we read, you direct messages there. And just, as always, from me to you, get to the asylum.
You guys have a good week. Later.